There is a huge difference between theory and application, knowledge and wisdom. It's not enough just to know. We must live it. And it's called experience. By living God's Word, we come to the realization and the damaging effects of living in sin, darkness, anger, many, many different aspects of sin, those things that are contrary to God. In Romans chapter 12 and verse 2, "And do not be conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind, that you may be able to prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God." We're going to focus on that idea of proving. We talked about this last week, but I wanted to include this, but I still preached for 45 minutes, so you're welcome, that I did not include Ephesians chapter 4 and 5. Please turn your Bibles over to Ephesians chapter 4 and chapter 5, however that opening is in your Bible. God tests us to know. That's a very interesting thought. The reason I say that is because over in Genesis chapter 22 and verse 12, I'll read it very quickly, and he said, "Do not lay your hand on the lad." Of course, this is when Abraham is about to sacrifice his son because his God has told him to, and that's the only reason that it seems that he's going to sacrifice the promised child, Isaac. But he says, "Do not lay your hand on the lad or do anything to him, for now I know that you fear God, since you have not withheld your son, your only son, from me." So Abraham confirmed his faithfulness through obedience, and now God knew. It's easy for us to say, "I would do this and I would do that," or "I won't do this and I won't do that." But until we're tested, and only when we are tested, will we really show our true colors. Of course, Abraham shined bright that day. You and I can attest that there are times when we have shown bright. There are times when we have not. There are two verses I'd like to focus my attention on. So when we get to them, I may not say a whole lot, but they are really the verses that stimulated this study. Ephesians chapter 5 and verse 10. Proving what is acceptable to the Lord. The idea of proving. Remember, we talked about that last week. And then in verse 18, the ending, "But be filled with the Spirit." I do not believe that this is some mysterious way in which the Holy Spirit indwells in us. I believe that it's the same as Jesus Christ, God the Father. We talked about that last week. And that it is just living in a manner that characterizes God. It is taking upon us His attributes, His righteousness, pureness, His holiness. That is God, Jesus, and the Holy Spirit living in us, and we in them. And so, knowing I wanted to emphasize Ephesians chapter 5 and verse 18, and also verse 10, I have to put it in context, so I back up to verse 7. There's the therefore, and then, in chapter 5, it begins with the therefore, which is the conclusion to the former thought. And then I say, now in verse 30, about grieving the Holy Spirit. And for those who have brought lessons, of course, if it's a topical lesson, we can cherry pick, and I don't mean that in a negative way. We have a topic, and so we pick out verses that are going to emphasize the points that we're making about that topic. But then when it comes to expository sermons, you have to put it in context. You stick to the context. You might go to other passages and so on. And so here I am in the middle of Ephesians chapter 5, But I have to back up to the beginning of chapter 5. But there's no chapter 5 when this letter was written. And so I have to back up a little bit further and a little bit further and a little bit further. And I end up beginning in Ephesians chapter 4 and verse 11. We're going to go through this very quickly. Put on your seatbelts. So, Ephesians chapter 4 and verse 11. In fact, I'm going to just put up these points that we're going to make along the way. That way I don't have to remember to click them up there. Ephesians chapter 4 and verse 11. And He Himself gave some to be apostles, some prophets, some evangelists, and some pastors and teachers. So we see that He's going to put into place leaders, those who are going to guide, those who are going to direct for a purpose. We see that in verse 12 beginning. For the equipping. You and I understand what it means to be equipped. I drive an old vehicle, so there is a toolbox in the back of my vehicle. And there's one in my truck, too, because they're both 01s. I might end up on the side of the road, and that's happened before. And I've had to change out a serpentine belt. I've had to change out a water pump or whatever the case may be. And I had the tools. I was equipped. You and I understand having to be equipped. And so it is, spiritually speaking, as vital. So, for the equipping of the saints for the work of ministry, Jesus, God, has put into place those who will take on a responsibility and accountability for others. Okay, whether it's leading them in thought of the word, or it is through the teaching, the feeding, if you will, of the flock, we need elders. We need elders. We've got to work to that end. Period. It is the work of God. It is the intent of God. So, going to verse 13 again, verse 12, for the equipping of the saints for the work of ministry, for the edifying, the building up. So you have work, the building up of the body of Christ, till we all come to the unity of faith and the knowledge of Jesus, or the knowledge of the Son of God, to a perfect man. This is the idea of being complete. That's the end to which we should all be laboring. To the measure of the stature of the fullness of Christ. We have these kind of these key words that really stand out. The equipping, the work of ministry, edifying, unity, knowledge, perfection, the measure and stature. You can just visualize Jesus standing there complete because He is the head of the body. You and I, making up the body of Christ, submit ourselves to the head, and we have a work to do. We'll see that's quite evident in verse 16 when we get to it. But notice, the danger is, if we don't have these leaders, those who are going to stand up, who are going to just absorb God's Word, put themselves in the Word, have it implement their lives, because that's exactly what we're going to see as we get through the remainder of this chapter and in chapter 5, is that we're living it. We're living the Word. We're proving it through our labor. So, the danger is, in verse 14, that we should no longer be children tossed to and fro and carried about with every wind of doctrine by the trickery of men and the cunning craftiness by which they lie in wait to deceive. See, there's going to be those who are going to rise up. Possibly within us, there's going to be those who are outside who are going to try to influence us. And if we're not founded in the Word, the leadership takes a big role in that. And when I say leadership, I'm talking about you women too, who are teaching you little kids. You are teachers. That's part of this work. We see that He gave some to be apostles, prophets, evangelists, some pastors and teachers. I don't know why that if you are a teacher, you're taking upon yourself this responsibility, and a grave responsibility it is. And so the contrast, and we're going to see contrast back and forth throughout all of this context. Notice the contrast. So we're not going to be tossed to and fro. We're not going to be tricked. We're not going to be conned into things. We're not going to be deceived, but speak the truth in love, may grow up in all things into Him who is the head, Christ. You see how that body is coming together, if you will, that's being emphasized in verse 13. The unity, the knowledge, the perfect man, the measure of the stature of the fullness of Christ. We're a part of that, but speaking the truth in love may grow up. And so we see even more so how this body being put together as God would intend in verse 16, from whom the whole body joined and knit together by what every joint supplies. If you don't think that you're useful to the master, well, you better figure out how to be useful. If you are not having a part within this congregation in some form or fashion, you need to be a part. You need to incorporate yourself through the work. For years, we had a the kids. I can't even think of it now. All of a sudden, my brain just goes blank. But having Bible studies and so on in the summer for the kids. So anyway, whatever you call that, not summer school, but vacation Bible class, right? Vacation Bible school, whatever you want to call it. Yes, thank you very much. Appreciate you helping me out. It took way too long to do that. I would beg and plead. Okay, so you're not teaching. Fine. You can still cut some things out. If you can't even cut something out, if you can't color and you can't cut something out that's going to be put on the wall for the kids, just be there for moral support. Aren't you encouraged when you come together with the brethren? Shouldn't it be outside of worship that we get together, that we enjoy being around? I don't know. I wonder sometimes the brethren don't want to be stuck with other brethren. I mean, how are you both going to get along in heaven? You know? Just come together. Find your purpose in this congregation. Find your usefulness is the point. Because it says flat out, every part, every joint supplies, the whole body joined and knit together, every joint supplies, according to the effective working by which every part does its share, causes growth of the body of the edifying of itself in love. You can't have these leaders if you don't have followers. So maybe you're not one of the leaders, but that doesn't mean you can't be with those who are leading. Otherwise, there's no such thing as a leader. There's no one following and helping and encouraging and strengthening. I don't know how I can explain it or describe it, but those of you who choose, maybe you just can't, but those who choose not to be here on Wednesday, it's a discouragement to me. I don't know about anyone, but I can speak for myself. And I've talked to others that say, well, the sun goes down and it's, I can't, when it's dark and so on, I just can't go. I can't drive. I don't know who drive at night. Well, what's your excuse the other 4 months out of the year? Jumping at the bit. I can't wait till I can. Well, can't someone pick you up? All I'm saying is that when we don't cooperate together in all of this, and I understand not everyone, but why not? Why not? Why can't I expect that out of everybody to be here every Sunday morning for Bible class, every worship service, every Wednesday night? Why can't I expect that? Now, if I'm going to say you're going to go to hell for it, well, I don't know, that's between you and God. But what I'm trying to express is that we're laboring together, and we can't be fit together if we're not together. It's important because we're going to see what we're going to cover here very quickly. This I say, therefore, and testify in the Lord, that you should no longer walk as the rest of the Gentiles walk. David has led songs this morning about walking. We know that's living our lives, right? In the futility of your mind. This is the negative side, having your understanding darkened, being alienated from the life of God. That's dead. If you're not in the life of God, you're dead. Because of the ignorance that is in them, because of the hardening of their heart, who being past feeling, you see, it doesn't affect them anymore. Having given themselves over to licentiousness, to work all uncleanness with greediness. But you have not so learned Christ. That's not how we live our lives. If indeed you have heard Him and have been taught by Him that the truth is in Jesus, that you put off concerning your former conduct, the old man which grows corrupt according to the deceitful lusts, and be renewed in the spirit of your mind. That goes back to Romans chapter 12 and verse 2, remember? And so, have we heard? Well, first of all, in verse 20, learned Christ? Have we heard Him? Have we been taught by Him that the truth is in Jesus? The leaders have to be taught by Christ. We have to be following in the footsteps of Christ, and then others should follow. In fact, Paul says in 1 Corinthians 11 and verse 1, imitate me as I imitate Christ. And so we are a changed people in verse 24, that you put on the new man, which was created because we've been renewed in the spirit of our mind, created according to God in righteousness and true holiness. You see, that's Christ living in us. That's us living in Christ. It should be so contagious. It should be such a strong desire that we just can't get enough. We just want more and more. The contrast again in verse 25, here's a therefore with this thought of being renewed in the spirit of your mind, a new man created according to God in righteousness and holiness. Therefore, put away lying. Each one speak truth to his neighbor, for you are members of one another. Be angry and do not sin. Do not let the sun go down in your wrath, nor give place to the devil. Let him who stole steal no longer, but rather let him labor according to the work of his hands, what is good, that he may have something to give him who has need. Let no corrupt communication proceed out of your mouth, but what is good for necessary edification, that it may impart grace to the hearers. So, we're a changed people. No more lying, no anger in that sense that would lead to sin. We don't steal, no corrupt communication. Do not grieve the Holy Spirit. Remember we talked about that? The Holy Spirit's living in us. He's directing our path. And then we say, I think I'm going to go this other direction. He say, no, don't do it. Don't do it. You know what lies on the other side. You've already been there. We'll get to that here in just a moment in verse 8. So, don't grieve the Holy Spirit of God by whom you were sealed for the day of redemption. Let all bitterness, wrath, anger, clamor and evil speaking be put away from you with all malice. Be kind to one another. You see the contrast? They flip back and forth. And be kind to one another, tender-hearted, forgiving one another, just as God in Christ also forgave you. You live that life. You know the end result. Why would we go back to it? We're a changed people. We're headed in a different direction. We just can't get enough of it. As much as we were drawn to sin and wickedness and our own selfishness, that's just the opposite of our desires now to live that righteous, godly, pure, holy life. And so we have a therefore. So kind of a conclusion to this former thought. Be followers of God. That's what it's all about. That's what it's all about. And it's living that godly life. It's not just having the knowledge, okay, I know what I should do and I know what I shouldn't do. No. It's living it. A changed people
Therefore, as followers of God, as dear children, there's the qualifier, you might say, in how necessary it is for that child to follow the parent. Every parent, I think, at one point in time has been grieved, the same way the Holy Spirit has been grieved. And I would make this comparison. I don't know if it really connects or not. To me, it does. It makes sense, but that doesn't mean it does to you. Dolly tells of a time, and it's happened to all of us, when we're looking around the clothes rack at Walmart, and you know, you got your little toddler, the 3-year-old, that's typically hanging on to you. But all of a sudden you realize, you know, that your heart drops. Bow! That's what it seems like to me that the Holy Spirit feels. Panic. No. He knows the danger. My sister had the kid, her kid, not just any kid, had her kid sitting in the basket. She's looking at the clothes and so on. She's right there. But it was enough in her rear peripheral that she did not see some lady come and get the child out of the basket and start walking away. And she had gotten about 25, 30 feet or so before she looked back and her kid wasn't in the basket like it was supposed to be. In the basket. She had to chase the woman down. Give me my child. Can you imagine? If it would have been just a little bit longer, we know what would happen to them. You and I need to understand that is the separation from sin to holiness. We need to have that same panic when we're tempted, when we want to go back down to that old man and resurrect him, that our heart drops. There's no way we can allow that to happen. We are getting so far removed from temptation, it hardly exists anymore in our hearts because we're so close to God, so close to holiness, and He's living in us, and we're not going to grieve the Holy Spirit. Therefore, be followers of God as dear children. We're completely reliant upon Him. And walk in love as children also has loved us, as Christ also has loved us and given Himself for us and offering Him a sacrifice to God for a sweet-smelling aroma. Look at the price that was paid to take us out of darkness and destruction into the love of God and tranquility. So, we see in verse 3, but fornication and all uncleanness or covetousness, let it not even be named among you as is fitting for saints. We're not participating in those types of things, neither filthiness, nor foolish talking, nor coarse jesting, which are not fitting, but rather give thanks. You see the flip-flop, back and forth. And this you know, that no fornicator, unclean person or covetous man who is an idolater has any inheritance in the kingdom of Christ and God. Let no one deceive you with empty words, vain words. For because of these things, the wrath of God comes upon the sons of disobedience. Therefore, here's another conclusion to those thoughts. Do not be partakers with them. For you were once, darkness. I mentioned having a tool set, you know, in the back. How often do you have to be caught in a bad situation before you go, you know, I'm not going to let that happen again? Now, for some of y'all, you say, well, you go buy a new vehicle, Daryl, and you don't have to. Well, they break down too. But yeah, we can kind of excuse ourselves, oh, it's not going to happen to me. It'll be okay, and so on and so forth. Or do I take precautions? Is the point. Am I equipping myself? Am I being prepared? Isn't that the motto of the Boy Scouts? Always prepared. I wasn't a Boy Scout, so I can't tell you from experience. But I carry a knife with me. I had someone say, "Why do you carry a knife with you when you go to worship?" And I said, "Well, I don't know. I just always carry a pocket knife with me. I use it. You know, every now and then when you need it, you need it."
I hope you and I need the Lord all the time. He's on our side. We're following Him. We're living for Him because we know the other side.
Come to the dark side, right?
Some of you can relate to that.
He's constantly there saying, come to the dark side. How many of y'all been on the dark side?
You better raise your hand. You don't have to raise your hand. I know people are comfortable doing that and so on and so forth. But
we've all been there. That's the point. We know what that life is like. And you were once darkness, but now you are light in the Lord. Walk as children of light. Live it. Don't talk about it. For the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, long-suffering, kindness, goodness. Against such there is no law. Something along those lines over in Galatians chapter 5. Here we're told the fruit of the Spirit is in all goodness, righteousness, and truth. Listen, proving what is acceptable to the Lord. I know what fornication will do to you. I know what drunkenness will do to you. I know what choosing immoral friends will do to you. There are some things I don't know what they will do to you because I haven't experienced it. But maybe you have and you can tell me. But let me ask you this. Do you have to go and commit adultery to know the consequences? You don't have to. You don't have to. But for you and me, there are some things we have done against our God. We should know better. We know one lie leads to another, to another, to another. So don't lie. Tell the truth. Period. End of discussion. No matter the consequences. We've already proven what is right, and we've proven what is wickedness. So verse 10, proving, acquire the fruit of the Spirit. We've left darkness, we've become light, we're walking as children of light. For the fruit of the Spirit is in all goodness, righteousness, and truth. Proving what is acceptable to the Lord, and have no fellowship with the unfruitful walks of darkness, but rather expose them. Very interesting. He's shifting gears on us. He's shifting gears in the sense that, yes, I have proven what is wickedness by living it, and I understand the end cause is death. Now I'm living in holiness, which gives me life eternal. I know the complete contrast between the two. I choose righteousness. I choose life. I choose light. I choose to walk in the light, right? Now what? I expose the darkness. Light dispels darkness. That implies we're going to be an influence. The world is just waiting for us to trip up. Ha! You say this, but you do that. We're not over here just kind of living our lives and someone's really watching, and if I do mess up, no one sees. Not even that. Not even, I hope someone sees that I'm doing what's right. This context moves us because we've been able to prove what is right, prove what is wrong through living it, that now I pursue those who have been in the darkness. Are in the darkness. So we see backing up to verse 11, and have no fellowship with the unfruitful walks of darkness, but rather expose them. For it is shameful even to speak of those things which are done by them in secret. We're certainly not going to participate. We're not going to involve ourselves in those activities. We don't talk about it. But all things that are exposed are made manifest by the light. For whatever makes manifest is light. Therefore, he says, awake! Wake up! Awake, you who sleep! Arise from the dead! Don't live in a bubble. Don't live without being an influence of those in the darkness. We can't just kind of live our lives to ourselves in that sense that we just mind our own business, not as children of God. No, we're putting our face in their face. We're making them uncomfortable because we're saying you're not living right. That's part of living for Jesus. Awake. The idea of get out of your stupor. Awake, you who sleep. Arise from the dead. Be active in the kingdom, and Christ will give you light. See then that you walk circumspectly, carefully, eyes open, eyes peeled. See then that you walk circumspectly, not as fools, but is wise. Why? Because we wasted enough time, not only in our own past sins, but we wasted time in trying to reach others about Christ. Notice, he says, redeeming the time because the days are evil. We can't get back time. But what we can do is change our ways, change our practices, so that we are not making the same mistakes over and over and over and over and living in our own little world, if you will. But now we know we are accountable for those who are around us who have been living that life that we've turned away from, and know that only death is the result. Therefore, verse 17, do not be unwise, but understand what the will of the Lord is. Got to put it into application. And do not be drunk with wine, in which is dissipation, but be filled with the Spirit. The Spirit, in that sense, is moving us because of our righteousness and our holiness in Christ, I believe. Try to get those who were in the same condition that we were in at one time out of it. Speaking to one another in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing and making melody in your heart to the Lord, giving thanks always for all things to God the Father in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ, submitting to one another in the fear of God. I hope that you can see the tie that I make between verse 21, submitting to one another in the fear of God, to verse 11. And he himself gave some to be apostles, prophets, evangelists, and pastors and teachers. To me, they go together. There's these leaders who are trying to lead according to the will of God. We would see trying to equip in verse 12, trying to edify, trying to unify, trying to share knowledge of the Son of God so that we can all come to the perfect man, to the measure of the stature of the fullness of Christ. I promise I'm not going to start all over. But you see, so we're not tossed to and fro. That we're founded, that we have purpose. We're standing on a firm foundation, which is Jesus Christ. That the whole body joined and knit together. Do you see how crucial that is? That we work together. The danger is always to resurrect that old man in Romans chapter 6 that we've put to death. The devil's out after us. But we see he flip-flops back and forth. Walk in the light, but darkness is after you. There's plenty of, you know, we see in verse 18, the darkness being alienated from the life of God. We're ignorant. We have hardened hearts. That's not what you learned from Christ. That's not what you heard from Him. That's not what you've been taught by Him. That's not the truth in Christ. Be renewed in the spirit of your mind. Acquire righteousness. Put off this anger and the stealing and this corrupt speaking. Don't grieve the Holy Spirit. Get rid of all this bitterness and wrath and this clamor and button heads. Stop it. We know the end result. Please don't fornicate. Have filthy language. Be covetous. You once lived that life. Don't live it anymore. You are light in the Lord. Walk as children of light. The fruit of the Spirit, again, goodness, righteousness, truth. You're proving what is acceptable to the Lord. That's what it means to have the Holy Spirit dwelling in you. As I ended last week's sermon, it's that simple. We are day by day proving God is right. Doesn't that feel good as a parent? I know that it could, you know, it's kind of taboo, but your kid comes to you and they go, yeah. And they didn't take your advice. And you go, I told you. I told you. How many times does God have to say, I told you. I told you. Well, He's told us. And we say yes, Lord. And we do it. What's your plans for this week? In the kingdom. I'm not talking about going to a doctor's appointment. I'm not talking about going to work. What's your plan in the kingdom today? Tomorrow? This week? This coming month, since we're almost at the end? Get a plan. Because you can be useful to the Master. If we will afford ourselves walking in the light and having a changed life to His glory and honor. If we can help you in that walk, won't you come as we stand and sing?
Who will follow Jesus standing